Thank you. Good morning, and may the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We welcome all of you to worship this morning, and you are welcome to stay for refreshment on the front patio plaza. We thank Nancy Passer for serving us, for being our hostess today. Thank you, Nancy. You'll see that there are many opportunities for us as a congregation. One of the great joys of being part of this congregation is being part of the choir and serving in the music ministry. See the notice about music at First Reformed Church. Sanctuary Choir begins our rehearsals this Thursday at 7:15. You and a friend are more than welcome to join our choir rehearsal. We look forward to seeing you.
Do you have to try out?
No, you don't even have to try out. And we sing with a wide variety of gifts and abilities in our choir. There are enough of us that those of us who are a little bit shyer of voice are given confidence by standing next to those of us who have a stronger voice. There is room for each one of you.
Sunday school begins next week, and our fall program of Christian education starts. Notice that Sunday school classes begin this coming Sunday, 1 week from today. We have classes for 4 years old all the way through senior highs. Notice that Wednesday Bible studies begin on the 24th. There are three different opportunities. I lead two sessions on Wednesday mornings at 6:30 in the morning, 6:30 to 7:30 for early risers, and another one at 12:15. This year, we're going to get started by taking a look at the lectionary lessons for the subsequent Sunday. We'll review them and then think about them and discuss them together. In other words, I'm getting lazy and you're going to help me write the sermons.
I guess I have to go too.
I should think so, yes. And then on Wednesday evenings, beginning the 24th of September, Heather Kramer will lead another in a series of kerygma classes, this one on the Psalms. You do not need to sign up for the two that I lead, because I'll give you the materials you need, but you do need to sign up on the bulletin board outside my office for the evening class on the Psalms because we want to make sure we have enough materials for everybody.
We've been given the wonderful gift of the June Selke Memorial Organ, and we look forward to a recital in October by Craig Williams. Sunday afternoon, October 5th, here in the sanctuary, Craig Williams, who is the organist choir master at the Cadet Chapel at West Point and a teacher and mentor of Justin, our organist. We look forward to hearing his recital. You and a friend are more than welcome to come that Sunday afternoon.
2 weeks from this coming Saturday is our Dutch fair. I can't believe it, but it is so. A couple of things. Please, there is room for you in our Dutch fair, and listed in the bulletin are the names and phone numbers of all the different booth chairmen and chairwomen. Call them and volunteer and offer your time. And please note that the cutoff date for making any donation to the Dutch fair of, you know, something for the White Elephant, something for Next to New, is this coming Friday. We will not accept donations after Friday because we need time to sort them and get them ready. So please be alert to that.
You'll see a notice about September's Mission of the Month. Next Sunday begins our September time, and we want to make sure we remember the Mission of the Month, which is it's called Active Samaritans Fund. It used to be called the Care Fund, which supplements care for those who are underinsured and those needing longer counseling sessions at the Samaritan Counseling Center, which is part of our campus here. The Samaritan Counseling Center is located in our former parsonage. It is a wonderful counseling center that we refer people to on a regular basis, and they provide wonderful care that we can supplement for our September Mission of the Month. See that notice. So there are many ways in which we live together in fellowship and ways in which to serve our world. But we gather now on as Christ's people on the first day of the week and give thanks for the one who came as the light of the world.
We worship God together, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
This morning I begin worship with the reading from Exodus, the Old Testament lesson, because it speaks of worship and helps to prepare us as we gather. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. Moses looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." And then God said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And he said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I've observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I do know their sufferings. And I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land to a good and a broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me, and I've seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you. And this shall be a sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you've brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now we give thanks to God in the words of our morning psalm. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wonderful works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wonderful works he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he uttered, O offspring of his servant Abraham, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. Then Israel came to Egypt. Jacob lived as an alien in the land of Ham. And the Lord made his people very fruitful and made them stronger than their foes, whose hearts he then turned to hate his people, to deal craftily with his servants. He sent his servant Moses and Aaron, whom he had chosen, that they might keep his statutes and observe his laws. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
We sing our praise to God, and then we come to confess our sins, for God has promised to hear our confession, to forgive us, and to give us another chance to begin again. Let us pray together our prayer of confession. Eternal God, your majesty is proclaimed by the marvels of earth and sky. Sun, moon, and stars testify to your power and wisdom. Day follows day in endless succession. The years vanish, but you and what you bless endures. Forgive us when we neglect the eternal. Make us co-workers with you, so that our fleeting days may be endowed with abiding worth. Teach us to till the earth and to keep it. Teach us how to care for others. More and more become the focus and the joy of our life. Then we will dwell securely and know abiding peace. We pray as we seek to live through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. With assurance, listen to what the prophet Isaiah said. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she have no compassion on the child of her womb? As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, says the Lord. And this is what Jesus said. Come to me, all you who labor and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and in me you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. We give thanks for the one who calls us to rest, the one who takes our heavy burdens onto his shoulders. May you live in the joy of this assurance.
And in grateful response, hear how we are called to live. The Apostle Paul writes, "Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil, but hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, but be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer, contribute to the needs of saints, extend hospitality to strangers, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly, and do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble. And if it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is how we are called to live our lives."
In gratitude, then, we bring our morning's gifts and our offerings. pray together. Accept, O Lord, the offering we make, offerings of ourselves and our money. Grant that we may ever work and pray to build a world of peace and joy and freedom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. So you heard the first lesson this morning, that from the third chapter of Exodus, way in the beginning of the Bible, the story of Moses and the burning bush, and the call of Moses then to be God's shepherd to release the people who were enslaved in Egypt. And then we turn to the 16th chapter of Matthew. And Jesus has been teaching the people, answering questions from the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he says, or it is written about that, from that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and he would be raised on the third day. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block for me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but they forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. This, too, is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now will the children join me at the front? Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Oh, how wonderful to be together on a warm Sunday morning. What do you want to be when you grow up? Has anybody asked you that question before? I wonder. What, Micah? I did not understand. I want to be You want to be an angel.
No.
Ninja. I like Angel. Angel is such a much better, I want to be a ninja. I haven't ever seen a ninja, a real ninja. We're going to have to deal with that. And Miss Naomi, I wonder what Naomi wants to be when she grows up. And Tony, what do you want to be when you grow up? A policeman. I want to be a policeman. What do you think, Jesse? What do you want to be when you grow up? A hairdo girl. A girl who does hair. She's got a purple sparkly band, hairband on today. Miss Hairdresser Jessie. Mr. Miles, what do you want to be when you grow up? A policeman. And Miss E.D., what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be when you grow up?
My dad's little girl.
She wants to be three. Today is a holiday weekend, isn't it? It's part of Labor Day weekend when we celebrate all those who work. And so I ask you what you want to be when you grow up. And when we ask one another that, we usually mean what kind of job do you want to have? But I would remind us that one of the first answers that we want to be when we grow up is a follower of Jesus Christ. I want to be a grown-up Christian and a grown-up Christian policeman or fireman or hairdresser or ninja or singer or entertainer or engineer, that we want to be the very best that God wants us to be. So whatever our answer is, and you know what? Sometimes I have to ask, I say to myself, what do I want to be when I grow up? Because I don't think I'm done growing up yet. And I'm quite sure there's some other people around here that aren't done growing up. Yeah, I'm very sure. And I wonder how we all can be the very best that God wants us to be as we grow up. Good wondering for a Labor Day weekend. Let's give thanks to God. We praise you, O God, that you have given us many gifts. And we remember all those who work to make our life easier. Be with each one of these children. Give them broad dreams and wide visions for bringing forth your kingdom in this community. We praise you, O God, for their answers and their enthusiasm and their joy. Give us the same innocent joy, O God. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. You may go back to your family seats. I thank Heather Kramer and Carl Griffith for having led worship for the three Sundays that Pastor Craig and I were experiencing our continuing education and our vacation. And to all you faithful worshipers who continued the worshiping life of this congregation and the ministry to our community, thank you all. We turn now to God's Word and the preaching thereof. Let us pray together. O Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, our help and our Redeemer. Amen. That Exodus story is certainly one of my favorites. Such a visual story for those of us who need to see things. Can't you just see that burning bush that was there? But it wasn't being consumed. How long would it take us to look at that bush, seeing that it's burning and that there's smoke and heat and light being given off, but realizing that it's not diminishing in any way? That might take some time, and we might have left the sheep by the wayside for more than a wise time, looking and seeing that it's not consumed. And hearing God call Moses' name. Moses the shepherd. He was working, doing a job, and carrying out a routine that he'd done 1,000 times before. Watch the sheep. Make sure there are no intruders. Is there water up ahead? Are there green pastures for grazing? Count them all. Oh, one has strayed. Come, I'll go get that one and bring him in again. Counting them all. There's a ewe about to deliver. Let's watch her. Is she well cared for? Is she okay? More water. Watch the sheep. Come, you straggle along. A job that his ancestors had done for years. Moses knows the sheep and the land well. And he knows his place in this land. A shepherd on an ordinary day, and an extraordinary call comes. Moses noticed the bush, and he was probably terrified. But he doesn't turn away. He stays. And he hears God calling him by name, Moses. Moses. Who is this God that knows his name and calls him? Aren't there so many stories in Scripture where God knows God's people's name? Maybe your own story includes the story of God knowing your name and calling you. Moses is called by name. We too are called by name, and on ordinary days, while going about our routine, God comes and says, Jan, say your own name. And Scripture says that God comes to us and says, when will you open your eyes and your ears to see and to hear? Notice what is going on around you. What will you do then with what you see? Jan Richardson puts it this way. This call or this blessing comes on an ordinary day when you're minding your own business. You're tending your own path, your own sheep, bent on that task before you that you've done 100 times, 1,000 times. And you'll have to choose for yourself whether you will attend to the signs, whether you open your eyes to that searing heat and light, whether you open your heart to that voice that knows you by name, that tells you that this place where you stand, this ground so familiar to you, and therefore so unregarded or disregarded, this land is in fact holy ground. Can you rebuff the call and withstand the heat? Will you turn your back? Will you hide your face? No path from here could ever be ordinary again. You will know your path, God's path, by how it burns within you, leaving you whole as you go from here, blazing with your inarticulate, your inescapable yes. A new path, out of the ordinary. Where does God call you? To come aside, to watch the bush burn. Where does God call your very name? And how do you answer, yes, Lord? God had this wonderful conversation with Moses. Moses said, well, I'm not sure that I want to go save the people from Pharaoh. Who am I going to tell the people sent me? And God reveals God's self to Moses and says, I am who I am, has sent you, and I promise to be with you always. As God has promised to be with Moses, so God promises also to be with us. And God's promise of God's presence with us then was extended with the gift of Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Matthew, this morning's lesson continues with that Exodus theme of call and moving on from our ordinary thoughts and our ordinary path to the kingdom of God that we are called to bring forth. The disciples had been with Jesus a while, and now he begins to tell them some news, news of what lies ahead. And in Matthew, there will be three more times recorded where Jesus speaks of his death to come at the hands of the church officials, and he speaks of his resurrection on the third day. Peter, hearing this news, is upset and says, no, 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 Lord, forbid it. And Jesus says, Peter, maybe he says it angrily, Peter, you're setting your mind on human things, not on heavenly things, on earthly worries, not on divine concerns. You're tripping over yourself, Peter, again, Rocky, for you can't see the kingdom, the big picture, the important things. And Jesus doesn't leave that conversation with Peter there. He turns and says, all those who would follow me, deny yourself. Take up your cross, follow me. Deny yourself, let go of all that you think is important. Take up those things that are important and follow me. Peter, let go of your plans for who you think I am, Jesus said. Let go of your ideas of salvation, rescue, peace, bridge builder. Peter, come to understand what it truly means to be one who follows and who is a servant, a disciple, a shepherd of mine. The cross that Jesus invites us to is the place where our desires and Christ's desires meet and all else falls away. Now, those two places usually are at a very uncomfortable place for me. I know what I want. I also know what Jesus wants. And a lot of times those paths kind of, they miss each other. To be called to follow Christ. It's a hard one for a hot summer vacation day, isn't it? You mean now when I'm on vacation and I've got friends and family around and I'm comfortable, I have to be reminded to let go of the things that are familiar, lose my life, take on the things that niggle at me and make me uncomfortable, even on a warm summer day? We are called again and again. It doesn't happen just once that we stumble on a burning bush. We are called again and again by the one who calls our name, to leave the ordinary and recognize the holy, to let go or take on and follow again and again and again. How do you take time to listen, and how do you have the time to notice that the bush is not consumed? Are you a stumbling block to the coming of God's kingdom, or are your hands unclasped and ready to hold the stranger who comes into our midst? While on vacation in a comfortable community at Chautauqua, there was a man who came in, not part of the regular community, but he came into the house where we were staying. And when he would come up the stairs, he would moan and make a lot of noise. And Craig went into the hall to see if he was okay. Well, of course I'm okay. But in watching this man move through the community, he agitated me just because he was controlling conversations, and he was interrupting people, and he didn't do things nor think the way I thought, do things the way I wanted them done. And it was one of those brief moments where I was reminded that God sends God's people again and again as irritants into my life, and I know into your life, to make me settle down and step back and breathe. And then extend myself, which I did not do, to this person. And I could have invited him into conversation. And I could have included him even in my thoughts. And I excluded him, not only in my actions, but even in my thoughts. And I've thought of that man. You know what man that is. And I was telling that story to someone else, and they were talking also about in their life that they have people that they're in conversation with, and there are people who monopolize our conversation, and people who turn the conversation into themselves. And yet those are people who are part of God's community, who are sent to us, I think, to challenge us again and again, to slow down and breathe and remember what's important. Here, won't you sit with me? Won't you come and spend time with me? I have time to listen with you. Here, I've got a meal prepared. Won't you sit and have meal with me? And as I read both of these stories, I'm reminded again and again that that's what it means to be in community together. Because I can tell you that story, and you have similar stories. And maybe if we all encourage one another, one of us will stand up and say, you know what? I finally got up the guts to welcome that man into our circle, into coffee hour. And I was blessed with the story that he told. It is only in community that we are encouraged and enabled and given the strength to go on. And to be reminded of those places where there's a burning bush right in the middle of our community and we have noticed that it hasn't been consumed, but none of us has stopped long enough to listen carefully for God calling our name. Where is God calling? First Reformed Church of Scotia, First Reformed Church of Scotia, as well as our individual names. Where is God in the middle of our community calling us? The burning bush was not consumed, and Moses was called by name. On an ordinary day, when he was doing his ordinary job. And some of us work and some of us do not work. All of us have common, ordinary routines in our life, though, whether we are paid for our work or not. Where does God come in the middle of all of that milieu? In the caring for the children or the parent or the neighbor? In the daily routine of washing the clothes and the kids and the dishes and the dog? In feeding one another? Where does God come in the middle of that? While we were at Chautauqua, at the Great Chautauqua Institution, we heard a wonderful preacher, an inspiring man from South Africa. His name is Alan Bosack. He is a man who has worked hard with Desmond Tutu and Nelson Mandela in the transformation of the African country and the church from a time of separation of the races and apartheid to a time of unity and moving forward. Alan Bosack is a preacher in the Reformed Church, and he spoke well of struggles personally as well as culturally in the movement toward equality. He spoke of a greeting in Africa as people meet one another as they are walking. They don't just say, "Hey, how are you? Hi." They greet one another by saying, "Dumelan, Dumelan. I see you. I see you." Which means I receive you. I accept you. I want to know more about you. And my response when you say to me, "Dumelan," is a response that indicates that I am seen by you. I open myself to you. In this culture, there is a whole different way of understanding how we live together as God's people. There's an understanding that when you are struggling, we all are struggling. This morning we read the law, how we are called to live. And we weep with those who weep, and we rejoice with those who rejoice. In church community, that's how we are called to live, in a very special way. And this greeting of one another, understanding, not just saying, "Hey, how are you?" to which we reply, "I'm fine, thanks," or, "Yeah, it's okay." When we accept one another and say to one another, "I see you," we give permission to explore a little bit further, to take the time, to find maybe holy common ground. Walking the ordinary path, do we see one another? Do we recognize the kingdom possibilities that there are? And do we see Christ in one another? I pray that even as we are finishing vacation and going into a new routine, our eyes may be opened, our ears opened too, that we might live out the burning bush encounter with confidence, with a new way of living on God's holy space given to us. Amen. It is wonderful to be back with you, to rejoice with you, to weep with you, to be back with you. Thank you for time away in which we did not worry about how you live together, for we know that you know how to live together well, and you were led well while we were gone. There are many, many announcements about our people. We give thanks that Simon Turbovich Miles and Edie's cousin, Simon, has returned home after a stay in Albany Med. He fell, he hurt his eye, he got allergic to the stitches in his eye, and he needed to stay at Albany Med. He is home and he is fine and recovering. And Mr. Micah was stung by a bee in an inopportune place by his eye. And we are grateful. I don't see any sign of it. We're glad that Micah is well and with us. You see that Joe Homer continues at the Theresian house receiving therapy. Betsy is doing well, is resuming her normal life at home. We're grateful for strength, for your continued prayers and cards to the Homer family. Gordon Wood should be home at the Scotia Mansion by now. He fell and needed to be at Ellis Hospital for a moment, and now he should be home at the Scotia Mansion here. Jerry Hamm has been transferred to Glendale Nursing Home for rehab therapy. Norma, how is Jerry? One day at a time. He's okay. We pray for strength for you as well as for Jerry. We remember Norma and Jerry Hamm. Helen Nelson celebrated a significant birthday this past Friday, and we give thanks for her good cheer. I saw her on Wednesday and laughed with her. She was up and dressed. We are grateful for strong, lively women and for Helen's long life and witness among us. Alicia, what a blessing to see you and Philip in worship this morning. Myron Hermance is at Albany Med Center with an aortic aneurysm and complications. He will have surgery first thing in the morning tomorrow. Monday morning, first thing. This is a change from what we had told the choir last night. Alicia called this morning, and Myron will be undergoing serious surgery. We pray for Alicia, for Myron, for their whole family in a very serious situation. We give thanks to God for your strength and for your faith in the God who has promised to be with us in all ways and in all places. Please hold them close in your heart over the next 36 hours and on. Myron was asleep last night when Craig went to see him. He is now resting comfortably, and we are grateful for that. Are there other things that we need to remember? No. Let us bring all of our prayers, our concerns, our celebrations to God who hears us. We praise you, great creating God, for wonderful works and miracles performed. Open our eyes to see you active in our world, in our congregation, and in our lives. Help us, with the psalmist, to be able to say, "Praise the Lord." Today, we give you thanks for good work to do. We pray for people who work behind the scenes doing hard labor which eases our lives. We thank you for those who are always ready to serve, particularly in emergencies and crises. We thank you for those who work so we don't have to. People who provide electricity and clean water, fresh food at the store, and safe transportation. We pray for those who are seeking employment and meaningful labor, who wonder what they're called to become. We pray for those unemployed, those underpaid, or those who are exploited in their work. May they not become discouraged. May they learn and grow during a difficult time. We pray for teachers and learners, especially this week as public school begins. Thank you for the opportunity to go to school, to learn, to wonder. Thank you for our homes where we are nourished and listened to. And we pray for those who are not nourished in body or in mind. We pray for those who live with closed minds or set opinions. Be with us in our learning. And we give thanks for those who serve to heal and strengthen us, nurses and therapists, doctors and assistants, pharmacists, healthcare workers and social workers, and all who care for us. We thank you for medical advances and modern medicines. We pray for those who rely now on good and accurate medical knowledge, and especially we pray for Myron and Alicia and their family, for wisdom and courage as they make hard decisions this week. May Myron continue to rest comfortably. Thank you for his and Alicia's strength and for their faith. And we pray for Joe and others who receive treatment and therapy for cancer and for chronic diseases. We pray for healing and strength for Gordon and for Betsy, for Jerry and for others. We pray also for counselors and therapists, especially those who work next door at the Samaritan Counseling Center. Thank you for those who work with us to heal and strengthen our relationships. We thank you for celebrations and holiday weekends, for an opportunity for families to gather, for vacation, for a change in routine. In celebration, we thank you for the long life of Helen Nelson, for her good mind and her good cheer. And we thank you for all those who show us how to age well. We pray for ourselves this day, that we may work hard to make your kingdom known and accessible in this place. Help us to bring justice for all, mercy and forgiveness to our dealings with one another, and hospitality to the stranger. We pray for peace in our world. And we pray that we may learn to be peacemakers here in Scotia. We offer these prayers and so many, many more in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. go out in peace and in love to serve the Lord. And may God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be with us all this day and even forevermore. Amen.